pray this morning that through from the scripture, through your Holy Spirit, you will show us the greatness of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. You will show us how wonderful he is individually and as a church. You will reveal yourself to us in a new, refreshing way. Lord, would you speak to us in these few moments? Will you come and indwell us? Will you come and do your work in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts? Will you come, Holy Spirit, come and open our eyes that we may see the splendor of our King, so that as we go out of here, we'll be fully convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, what a wonderful God we serve. How wonderful, how beautiful, how merciful, how compassionate he is. Holy Spirit, show us Jesus, we pray. Show us the heart of the Father God as we listen to you this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask, come. Amen. Please be seated. Those of you who are standing, those of you who are already sitting, make yourself comfortable. I was thinking, how long shall I preach? It's last Sunday. Shall I do a full 45 minutes? Shall I do a 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes? Well, we will see. I'm not going to give you an answer how long I prepare, but we won't be here for long. On this Pentecost Sunday, the reason that the Holy Spirit was given, and I want to highlight the fact that he was given both to us as individuals and to the church itself, that the church is made up of individuals who are filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Filled in order that, or indwell, I like that better, you know, in a sense, indwell by the Spirit of God, to be comforted by him, to be guided by him. And one of the things that really struck me in Romans, it says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us even when we cannot find the words to pray. When we are in agony, when we suffer trauma, when we lost a loved one, we find very, very difficult time and challenging time to even pray. And it says the Holy Spirit is there to intercede for us because we got no more power, no more words. The pain is so unbearable that we cannot praise, we cannot pray anymore. I love how incredible the Holy Spirit of God, through his gifting, through his fruits of the Spirit, has empowered us for one reason only, to be a witness to his love and grace throughout the world. Not to boast, not to say, well, you know, I can preach, Debbie, but you can't. Well, she can, actually, I can tell you. Or, you know, I can do that and X can do the other and so on. He has given us different gifts that we may build the body of Christ in order to glorify him as we go to witness to his love and grace. The heart of mission said, it is said, it's the gospel. This is why the empowerment of the Holy Spirit has come, that we may proclaim the riches of his glory, of his goodness, of his grace, of his mercy. The goal of our ministry, it's worship, it's praise, it's adoration. In everything we do or say, that is the goal of our ministry. That's why we're here, Sunday by Sunday, week by week. The task of our ministry is to join Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, in his mission. That's the task. We have a ministry to join it into God's mission through obedience of the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, stepping very closely to his leading. The power of our ministry, it's the Holy Spirit, and this is what I want to talk to you about in a few moments, for a few minutes. The power of our ministry, it is the Holy Spirit of God. Because sometimes we begin to think that we do it on ourselves with the knowledge, with the cleverness, with the visions that we got and so on. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit that leads us into the mission of God as we follow him. And boy, how we need the Holy Spirit of God this time in our church, in my life, and I'm sure in your life too. And future seems uncertain. And this is why I thank the Lord and I thank the church for allowing me to have a sabbatical, because I would like to go and reflect, as Daniel prayed this morning for me here, to reflect on what God is saying. And I personally feel that we need to be challenged a little bit, that the things that we've done so far might not work for the ministry that the Lord might take us into the future. And we need to be open to the Spirit leading. I like to go and listen, not in order to come back with 10 tablets like Moses has, but to be able to be encouraged to hear that prophetic voice and be a prophetic voice in our community here, to encourage you to listen more to the Holy Spirit so that we together discern the leading of God's Spirit in the weeks and months ahead. I like to look and listen to see what God is saying in terms of our ministries here, of our leadership here, of our ministry that we have, and how God might take us into a new uncharted territory for the future. And that is a privilege that I have in doing or having this sabbatical. Read, reflect, discuss with others, and engage in conversations that, as Daniel pointed out in his prayers, to be able to discern what the Spirit of God is saying. So it's the heart of mission is the gospel. The goal of ministry for us is worship. The task of our ministry is to join God in His mission. The power of our ministry is the Holy Spirit. And finally, the partnership that we have in our ministry with one another, with the Holy Spirit of God Himself, it's the church. Yes, God does it through us as individuals, but God does it also through this old girl called the church, to be the witness to the people out there in our communities. And I like to listen to all those five aspects of our ministry together, how we can put the gospel even more central to our lives, how we can even incorporate more time of worship into our ministries, that Christ is glorified, how we can discern together as a church what God is doing for us in the future and join Him in that mission rather than continuing to do what we've always done because that's what we can do and we used to do. What a privilege that is. And I can only do it by the support of your prayers as the Holy Spirit comes both on us and our ministries. Lives can only be changed with the help of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to see change in our lives or in any other people's lives, human efforts will not do. That's why the Holy Spirit of God has been given at Pentecost, that we may learn how to be guided, how to allow Him to guide us into the future, into our ministries. Only the Holy Spirit can convict a man or a woman of guilt, of his need of Jesus, of his sinfulness. Only the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking how many times, even through preaching sometimes, if we are not careful, we manipulate people into coming to Christ. And forgetting that it actually is the work of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convince someone to love Christ, none of us can do that. It can be the best preaching in the world with the nicest three-point Baptist sermons in it. It will not do it. It will not do it. It's only the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, the best example I can give is when Billy Graham was preaching. He preached a lot of his sermons. You know, because I used to have the Decision magazine for many years. Somebody used to send me the Decision magazine of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And when I was reading his sermons, there's nothing new. All the time seemed to be repeating the same things, especially preaching from Romans all the time. But it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brought thousands to Christ through that preaching. It's only the Holy Spirit that does that in our ministry, and I like to be reminded of that all the time. You have people like Peter and some of the apostles who try to be witnesses to Christ before Pentecost, but Jesus said, no, wait till the Holy Spirit comes. And after that, you have a sermon like we just read this morning from Peter, whom the Holy Spirit came on him. And boy, preacher, how many people came to Christ? 3,000. And then more have been added, 5,000, and so on and so forth. Throughout the Acts of Apostles, the Acts of Apostles is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as such, because the apostles were now baptized with the Holy Spirit. They're now indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Not only just to believe in Christ, but to be a witness for him. Do you remember when we used to have, has anybody here has got one of those winding watches? Many people who've got a winding watch? No. Oh, William has got a winding watch. Well done, William. Well, let me tell you a story. I used to have a winding watch, and I still got one nice one, a Russian one, Pobeda, I think it's called, at home. And when I've changed that one, I bought a quartz one, yeah? But it still had a little button that you can, like the Apple one, you can still turn it now. So although it had quartz battery in it, I still used to do this every evening, you know, to turn it around. And then I realized, after a while, actually I don't need to do that anymore because it's got a battery. What's the point of doing that, you know? And sometimes we tend to think that we still need to do that in our ministries with the Holy Spirit. We need to wind him up in order to do the work. We need to come with clever strategies and visions and stuff and things in order for him to do the work. What we need to do is to begin to listen to the movement of the Spirit rather than trying to turn it on, don't we? Because it was a different movement. And this is a story that is funny, isn't it? How in 1969, the biggest manufacturers of wind-up thing watches was who? Rolex, Switzerland. Yeah, Switzerland. They were the biggest. Yeah, Rolex and all the other Longines and so on. They were the biggest manufacturer. They boast themselves that 90% of all the whole sales in the whole world were Rolex and were Swiss watches. Let me tell you something. That was in 1969. In 1980, they were at the bottom. Why? Because the quartz. And you know who invented the quartz? It was a Swiss guy. When he told them in 1969 about the possibility of a quartz watch, all the proper manufacturers, Swiss manufacturers, and we don't have this stuff, you know, he hasn't got a proper winding thing, he hasn't got wheels in it and stuff. And they didn't pay attention. And they've gone, because the quartz movement have replaced the mechanical movement in watches. And that's all I'm saying to you, that I think we as a church, we as individuals, we cannot paint the same picture that we've been painting for many, many years to reach out a new generation of people to not come to church anymore. Couldn't care how many activities we put and stuff on for them. Are we turning a quartz watch here? I remember about 15 years ago, it is 15 years, when I went to with these lovely leaders of ours, we went to a retreat, and I told them about when Big Ben was built. Yeah? Do you remember Big Ben? Yeah? In London, there were people who were still going to announce the time in central London to say it is 12 o'clock, it is 3 o'clock, it is 6 o'clock, whatever it was. And then Big Ben was built, and they were still doing that. And I remember saying to the leaders then, and this is part of my ministry all my life, are we telling the time, or are we building the clock? that will tell the time. And I think it's time for us from time to take stock, to reflect and see where the Spirit of God is leading. Beginning with me, beginning with the leadership of the church, beginning with us in our ministries, and see how the Lord might lead us into the future as such. We need to pray constantly for the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us and help us avoid turning a quartz movement. Yeah? Avoid doing that. God's deeds of power. Listen to this. This passage in Acts chapter 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. Tongues of fire and separated and came to rest on each other. All of them filled with the Holy Spirit. And you hear sermons about what the tongues of fire meant and what the wind was and what the prophecy was all about. Okay, I get it. But the main thing of this is not the manifestation per se, but is what is behind it is the fact that God has called us to communicate that gospel that is the center of our ministry to all the people of all generations, of all ages, of all nations. And the Holy Spirit is the help, and He will give us the language into every cultural background to reach out to them. Thus, as I read the scripture there, the main purpose of that description. You can make of the tongues of fire what you like and all that stuff. You can spend thousands of arguments and whatever on this. And especially for me, reading a passage like that, coming from my brethren background back in Romania, that was a no-go area. You know, I was limiting the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because if I wasn't used to it, why should others be used to it? Why should others have that kind of experience if I haven't and I don't believe in it? But over the years, I've come to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to work both in my life, in my ministry, as in the churches that God has called me as such. Yeah, growing up, you learn, don't you? My prayer as I close now and as I leave on the sabbatical is that somebody just pray here, I don't know whether you are Steve or somebody, but pray that the Lord will renew us. Will renew us, our mind, or even the physical, we'll look younger when I come back, but the Lord will renew us in our hearts and our minds of how we view Him, how we see Him, how we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to indwell us, and to indwell us into our lives. I have one more thought, I think, but I'm going to stop here, I think. By opening ourselves, I think, to the Holy Spirit, it's a scary business. It's a very scary business. By opening ourselves to the miraculous expectations of the Holy Spirit, it's scary. It scares the pants out of me. But can I invite you, before I go, to allow the Holy Spirit, to allow your hearts to open up to the different, to the miraculous, to the leading, to the beauty, and to the adventure that the Holy Spirit might like to take us on. And I look forward to see when I come back how you will respond to that, put a story with your story together, and together as a church. And this is why I love, and I am proud to be a Baptist, and I think it's right to be a Baptist, and I'm not advocating any Baptist kind of image here. But this is what I love about being a Baptist, because we read the mind of Christ together. We come together as a church. We come together in worship. We come together in a church meeting. We come in prayer together to discern the mind of Christ. And I urge you as I go to continue to do so, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to fall in a new, a fresh way, way on you. I pray that you will bless you, your families, those of you who have worries and concerns, financial difficulties, children difficulties, mortgage difficulties, jobs, illness. I pray that the Holy Spirit will fall on you. Why don't we just take a bit of time now? We'll have a song. The worship group will minister it to us. And we just sit quietly and pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will come. Pray, make that your individual time, personal time with the Lord, to come on you. It might be an area of your life where you would like him to come and minister. It could be, you know, illness. It could be worry about a brother or sister or mom or dad. Whatever it is, give it to the Holy Spirit and allow him to come into your life. We'll just sing this and we'll see how it goes. And yeah, we'll have this lovely song here, which is called Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Do remain seated.